Mark chapter 4. We began last week to teach and preach on a topic of listening and hearing, keys to making progress in life. Say that. Say listening and hearing, keys to making progress in life. Pardon that noise. Now, as you'll see again this week, as last week, when you have a listening ear and a hearing heart, you can make progress in life. And we're going to today continue on. We're going to not go back over that. You can get the CD and listen to that. But we're going to go today in part two. I'm going to call this Lessons in Listening. Say Lessons in Listening. Mark chapter 4, verse 23 says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. I'm a bit loud here. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. And to you who hear, what happens? Verse 25, for whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, Jesus spoke these words. They're words we have to listen to and then hear. Again, listening happens in the ear, in the physical part of our body. Your earlobes gather sound. It goes down to our ears. You know, eardrums vibrate, goes to the brain. That's listening. But once it gets that far, you must determine then to hear what the Lord is saying, because words have meaning. Words have significance. And yet sometimes we hear words, but we listen to words, but don't hear meaning. But Jesus said it quite plainly, that we should take heed what we hear. Sometimes we're listening to so many different sources, so much stuff, so much garbage, if you will, until when something good comes across, we can hardly discern it. The Bible said we should discern between bitter and sweet. Approve of things that are excellent, the Bible says. We have to be discerning, amen? Even more now today with so many sources. You know, when my dad was a kid, he grew up and they had books and radio. Then they got TV, and that's about it. You know what I'm saying? That's about all. Even when I was a kid, we had a little black and white TV. Came on in the morning, went off at night. Imagine that. TV came on and went off. Wow. That thing now was, and all we had four channels. Four channels. But now we got, I don't know how many channels, hundreds. The thing's on all night. Take heed what you hear. Because you've got all these people in your ear. You've got all these sources. You got internet. You got everything. People texting you, calling you. I saw some people just yesterday, who were both a couple sitting together texting. Hope not each other. I hope we weren't texting each other. But you know what happens nowadays? People in the same room and they're texting each other. I mean, what happened to listening to one another's voice? Talk to me. Look me in the eye. Take heed what you hear. But Jesus said that because, then he said, with the same measure you use, that is the measurement, the gravity, the level to which you give to hearing, he says is measured back to you. That when you listen to God, listen to people, give people your undivided attention, you gain a lot out of what they have to say, and then people will listen to you. So sometimes we just complain, but people don't want to listen to me. Well, are you listening to people? Are you giving attention to others? Because many times, if you don't like your harvest, check your seed. Don't like the way things are going? Check the seed. A devil attacked me. Could be. He does attack. He does crazy stuff. But be sure you understand this, that, yeah, he may be attacking you. But be sure that you're not attacking yourself, on hurting yourself by sowing the kind of seed that brings the kind of results you do not want in your life. Then he said this again, to you who hear, more will be given. To you who hear, more. More of what? More of whatever God wants you to have. More of everything. More of life. More of blessing. More of God. More of the Spirit of God. More peace. More joy. To him who has, more just comes. More is coming to people who have ears to hear. But then he says, on the other hand, that who again, he who has, more is given, but whoever does not have ears to hear, does not have a listening ear and a hearing heart, who does not have, what he has will be taken away from him. We experience decline. Sometimes we lose out, not because God doesn't love us and he stopped helping us. Sometimes we just cut our own blessings off by ceasing to listen and hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Now go to Hebrews chapter 2. Here's today's text. Hebrews chapter 2. Next slide. Hebrews 2. It says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Know any drifters? Know any drifters? Anybody drifting from God, drifting in life? Drifting in career, drifting in purpose, drifting in their, you know, in their sense of purpose is because, according to the scripture, that they or we have not given the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Get a hold of that. Heed to the things you have what? So see, listen, when you don't give the heed to things you've heard, then you've just been listening. And not hearing. See, truly, hearing does mean listening, of course. Hearing and listening are interchangeable. But in context, I'm offering you this thought that listening is where we start. I mean, sometimes people don't even listen. So how can they hear? But then there are those who are listening, but don't give the more earnest heed. Now, watch these words, earnest and heed. The word earnest means abundant. All it means, abundant. In fact, other places this word earnest is used in the scriptures means abundant. So he's telling us there, now give earnest heed or give abundant heed. Give abundant, give a large amount, give a major degree of focus on this. And the word heed, it means to turn the mind to. It means to be attentive. It means to apply oneself, to be attached, to attach oneself to. It means to hold or cleave to a person or thing. Look at this one. To be given or addicted to. I'm addicted to hearing from God. Now, addicted oftentimes is a bad word. Addicted means I can't help myself. I'm in so deep, it's changed me. I'm transformed by the addiction. So addiction to drugs is bad. Amen, somebody. Addiction to alcohol, addiction to illicit sex, addiction to, you know, certain kind of folk is bad. But addiction to hearing is good. Amen. And that word often is used badly, but again, give the more earnest heed to what? The things you have heard, things you are hearing. Things you've had heard means, have heard means go back sometime and go over your notes. Go back, listen to the CD. Go back online and listen. We got about 50 messages plus on iTunes going back like 5 or 6 years. All there for you just to go listen to. If you're serious, you know, about anything, you can find hope. You got Bibles. See, listening and hearing aren't just with people speaking to you. It's also when you read and understand and comprehend. That's hearing, right? So the function of listening, where it concerns reading, just scanning words is listening. But when you take time and digest what's being said, then you're hearing what's even written. So therefore, for a lack of giving the more earnest heed, the abundant attentiveness, the abundant attachment, the abundant cleaving to God, to his word, people are drifting. People have drifted. He says that lest we drift away. And that oftentimes describes a condition we experience. We call it other things. We say, well, the devil's after me and all that kind of stuff. The devil got some power. I give him that. But there's more power in the word. There's more power in my decision to hear God than what the devil has. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody. Don't blame the devil for what we're not doing, because you have power. You have authority over the devil, over all the stuff in this world, even your own self, your own flesh. So he says, we must give. We must give. We must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Curious, because we oftentimes want a new word. What's the word for today? What's the message today? I need a fresh word. Not always. Sometimes what you need is a word, an old word. Give heed to what God's already been saying to you. Give heed to things you've heard a long time, we've heard over and over again, and don't get distracted from what the last thing God said. Because listen, God's like this. If we don't acknowledge what he says to us in the past, and don't say, Lord, thank you for helping me, speaking to me, guiding me, you know, if we can't acknowledge that, why would God give us more to ignore in the future? Why won't God give us any more to ignore when we haven't given the more earnest heed, haven't cleaved to and addicted ourselves and attached ourselves to what God's already said? Is that clear? I think it is. Amen. So, Lord, help me to give the more earnest heed to the things I have heard so I won't drift. And if you have any drifter friends, drifter members, you know, drifter believers, reach out to them. Love on them. Amen. Pray for people who are drifting. Now, this term actually comes from shipping. Sailing and shipping, where is, you know, when you, if you have a boat, you have to tie that boat to the dock or anchor it out there. And if you don't anchor that boat, think about water. Water's always moving. The oceans and rivers, they're always moving, you know, wind blowing. And if you don't anchor that boat, dock that thing, you find yourself, that boat would be a way off from where you thought it was, because it just drifts and it's almost imperceptible. Everything is moving and rocking, so you don't have a sense of moving away from a destination. So the thing is, it's like the word of God. It's an anchor for our soul. Now, example. Go to the gospel according to Luke, chapter 10. Let's talk about Martha for a minute. Martha was a wonderful lady. Jesus saved her. I mean, we're going to learn from her. She'll speak to us here today. Listening may appear to be easy, but it's oftentimes hard, because we have the filters. We talked last week about the various filters and ways that what hinders our listening. We talked about that last week. But listening isn't as easy as it might seem. Listening requires giving another person undivided attention. It also involves changing your attitude. Sometimes we learned last week that, for example, people who have the condition where they don't want to listen, they'll filter, they find the reason, they find fault with somebody and discount their message. Listen, y'all, you cannot like somebody, but they're telling you the information that's true and right for you. And so by rejecting their message, you say, well, I don't like them before their message is wrong. No, it's a mistake to reject people for whatever reason when they're still speaking to you what's exactly right and needful. That's a mistake. And sometimes people get offended. You get mad, get upset, become disillusioned, walk away from people, churches, things, and feel like they feel justified. I'll show them. But the thing is, it hurts you. It hurts me when I walk away from covenant, when I'm a covenant breaker. That's a whole story. I mean, covenant is such a strong thing until it's hard to talk about. Because covenant, my wife and I are in a covenant, which, you know, we've grown in that over the years of being married. But really, we had that same with Jesus Christ. We're all in a covenant with Jesus Christ and with one another. So what I do affects you in some way. I should realize that. What I do affects this body in some way. I have to recognize that, be responsible in that regard. Now, Martha, in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And she had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and said, asked him, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," Jesus answered, "you are worried and upset about so many things. But few things are needed, and indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Not be taken away. Not be taken away. Sound like what she was doing. Listening. Hearing. To him who has hearing, what happens? So then, when the announcement went out that Jesus is coming to your house, or house, they made preparations. I mean, you know, pick things up, wouldn't you? Cut the grass, you know, clean the windows, or close the curtains, you know. I mean, Jesus is coming. I'm sure Mary and Martha were both working on that. But when Jesus got there, Martha sat down because, I'm sorry, Mary sat down to listen to what he had to what? She wanted to listen. She wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. That's exactly what he taught us. There, but then we find that Martha, verse 40 says, she was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Had to be made. Now, in her mind, had to be made. Now, preparation is important, isn't it? But I don't know about you, but if Jesus comes to my house, whatever I'm doing, before he get there, I'm doing. But when he get there, I'm stopping. I'm not talking, we're talking about, listen, I love y'all, okay, all of y'all. All right, I will stop, if you come to my house, I will stop for you. How much more will I stop what I'm doing to listen to Jesus? Now, here's the thing. This is a lesson in listening. That Martha was listening to the voice of all the stuff she had to do. Now listen, you got things to do. We reckon all of us got things to do. All of us got jobs, responsibilities. We all know that. But the voice, Martha's voice of stuff I got to do was stronger than a voice that said, "Listen to Jesus." In other words, she did not have ears to hear. And we proved it here. See, you might think you have ears to hear until a choice has to be made. Everybody say, "I love Jesus. I love him. I love him with all my heart." Until a choice has to be made. Until Jesus shows up or he presents himself through somebody, through a word, in a church meeting. I mean, in some way, there comes a challenge to listen, stop, and listen and hear. And but yet we find other things to do instead. I got to play golf. I got to watch the ball game. I got to go shopping, you know. And so that's the voice you're listening to, really, is golf and shopping and all the other stuff, more than Jesus. Got that? It's a lesson. So Martha was distracted. So guess what the lesson is? Don't be distracted. Even by things you have to do. Organize yourself. Get yourself together. Come on, somebody. Get your stuff done before Jesus show up, before it's time to serve him. You got, I mean, my goodness, I mean, if it's about church on Sunday morning, it's just like 2 hours once a week on Sunday morning. So get ready for that. I got people coming. Let them come after church. Let them wait till you get back. Depends on the priority of things. Nothing wrong with serving your family. I get that. I'm okay with that. But sometimes anything becomes distraction for us. Because we allow it. The voice of stuff is bigger to us than the voice of God. And that's not what Jesus wants for us. You don't want it for yourself. Based on what he said, he that has, more will be given. And so when Martha came and complained that, "Lord, she's not helping me," he basically said, "You should be sitting down here too. You are worried and upset about so many things. You are worried and upset about many things." Worry is a voice, y'all. Worry speaks. Worry is stuff that you hear, isn't it? Worry are things you actually hear in your mind. worry, the little movies that you run in your mind about what might go wrong, what might go bad. Those are voices. Those are, you have to listen to worry for worry to work with you. When you learn not to worry, you learn how to listen to voices like that. See, worrying is a choice that becomes a habit. So don't be distracted. Say, Lord, help me not be distracted by things I have to do. You got to do things. I mean, here's your dilemma. I got things to do. I can't be distracted. How can I resolve it? Do your things at the different time. Do what you got to do. Schedule your, have a schedule. Get up in the morning. Turn off the TV. Get off Facebook. You know what I'm saying? Go home. I mean, there's time for things. There's time to do stuff you got to do. And now you're all jammed up and can't serve God. I got things to do. What you got to do? Well, let me see. I got to shop. How long take to shop? Oh, it'll take me 5 hours. Do it in two. Say amen. Say amen, church. I'm going to do a prayer line. I'm going to deliver y'all from shopping for 5 hours. You're going to break it. You're going to get a spirit of 2 hours shopping. You're going to gain 3 more hours. Y'all ain't receiving that. Ain't no spirit of it. Just wisdom. Don't tell God what you, everything God wants you have time for. Everything God wants for you, you can do it. Everything God has, you can have. Listen, y'all, God knows what he's doing. I got too much. If God gave you all that stuff, there's time for all that stuff. Just have to know when to do it, how long. Best thing is, most important thing is when to say, I got to go. That's a big one, you know. I got to go. You're on the phone, and it feels like a long conversation to say, I got to go. And each other respect that. See, I got friends. We talk and talk. But if any one of us says, I got to go, we get right off the phone. Nobody complains. We have a covenant, you know. Getting off the phone. Now, you know, and some people, you can't get them off the phone. So you don't want to answer the phone when they call. You don't want that to happen to you. If you're one of those, hey, I ain't talked to him in a long time. You talk too much. You become the voice. They don't want to hear all the time. You keep folk from hearing from God because you talk too much. Y'all all right? I've been there sometime. I've had God tell me to shut up. Shut up. I mean, I've actually shocked people. I just stopped talking in the mid-sentence. Boom. I felt that. Shut up. I felt that I was talking too much. God said, be quiet. Listen. Hear. So Martha had this voice in her head, all the stuff I got to do. And Jesus said to her, oh, no, no, don't go there. Do what Mary's doing. Mary's example here, she got it right. She got things done before I got here. When I came, she stopped and listened to me. There is your lesson in listening right there. Is that good? Don't be too distracted to listen to Jesus. The voice of things should not be greater. The voice of things to do should not be greater than the voice of the Lord. Look at John chapter 11, another lesson. Gospel of John chapter 11. Lessons in listening. Verse 1, now a man named Lazarus was sick, and he was from Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. That's not Mary, mother of Jesus, okay? So not her. And when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. No, but it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. It's a very important note. Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. See, when Jesus loves you, that means he's going to help you in a very special way. But the help he brings may not come in the way you expect it. Now, Jesus also listens. He also hears. Because when Lazarus was sick, the Bible says they sent word to Jesus and said, the sister is sending word saying, Lord, the one whom you love is sick. Not just, you know, not just Lazarus, your friend is sick. Which meant, get yourself over here right now. So they were, that was their message. The one you love is sick, implied, meaning, get yourself down here and help him. And so when he heard that, because he loved them, see, he loved them, right? When he heard that, he said, first, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And then verse 6 says, look at verse 6, John 11. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. What kind of friend doesn't come running? You know, I mean, what kind of friend that loved me? It go stay somewhere 2 more days. Well, this is not any old friend. This is Jesus talking about now. See, when Jesus loves you, when Jesus hears you, when Jesus speaks to you, or you speak to him, here it is. When you make requests of Jesus, he always has more in mind than we ask. Now get a hold of this, very important. When you ask Jesus for something, say, Lord, I need some money, Lord, I need money bad. He heard that. He's listening and hearing. But his answer is going to be more than money back to you. See, otherwise he'd be just like a cosmic bellhop, you know, some kind of waiter, some kind of Santa Claus, you know what I'm saying? You don't put a request into Jesus and he show up like FedEx with your package at the door. Oh, no. He's still your Lord and Savior, amen? So now when you need money, he's checking out your whole situation. Amen. Why you need money? What happened? The devil attack you? Maybe. You mismanage the money you have? Are you a giver and tither? You cheat somebody out of some money? I mean, when you ask him, when you ask Jesus for stuff, he's going to help you. He's going to really help you. He's going to really help. He's going to bring a whole lesson. You know, he's going to bring help. The good thing is, when you finally get the money, you get deliverance with it. You're going to get some wisdom with it. You're going to get other things with the thing you asked for. So when it said, Jesus, come heal our brother, your friend, Lazarus. Jesus is probably thinking, I don't roll like that. You don't just call me, I run somewhere for you. I don't. And besides that, why would you think I couldn't heal him from where I am now? I mean, in other words, they were operating in their world. Here's the point. In their world, sickness, severe sickness would end your life. In their world, sickness without being treated or healed means what? Death. That's their world. Understandable. But in Jesus' world, sickness is no barrier. Death is no barrier to what he can do. That's something that they didn't realize. I mean, they were friends. They were familiar with Jesus so much so they lost sight of what he could really do. He was more powerful than they realized. He had to show them. He had to teach a lesson. He planned on healing Lazarus. But the plan was, let him die first. That was his plan. Now, that, you know, listen, Jesus has special power we don't have. So, you know, I mean, help people, let them die, because you can't raise them from the dead, you know. Don't roll. The Master, the Lord, the Savior said this. Because his plan was to reveal something that they could not comprehend without a demonstration. See, Jesus listened to our requests. But he always has more in mind than we ask. Remember this, the Bible says that God does what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above. So whenever you ask God for something, he got to come back with something exceedingly, abundantly, above. Y'all get that? He wants to. Lord, I want a job. Any old job will do. Oh, no. Don't limit yourself. Like God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above the job you're asking for. He wants to exceedingly bless you. He wants to go beyond what you asked him, both in blessing and in giving you wisdom and instruction. Please understand that. See, when he who listens, he who hears, more will be given. Jesus heard their requests. And so the Bible says he stayed where he was. Now, to my reading, it wasn't told them he wasn't coming right away. To my reading, there's no indication that he wasn't going to come right away. And the Bible tells, the story goes on. Look at verse 6 again. It says, so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days. Verse 7, and then he said to the disciples, let's go back to Judea. Let's go now. Skip to verse 11. After he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. This is very deep. It's talking about Jesus' world. All right. So disciples said, well, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. You know, he'll sleep it off. Whatever he got, he'll just sleep it off. He'll feel better in the morning. Take some Advil, you know what I'm saying? Drop some Tylenol, you know, he'll be fine in the morning. Get some orange juice, plenty of water. We'll wake him up. Verse 13, but Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So disciples were listening to Jesus, didn't comprehend. Verse 14, so then he said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, in the disciples' world, in our world, in natural people's world, I mean, when somebody's sick to death, they assume to die, they're going to die. And then when they die, they're dead. And in their world, you got to get to folk before they die. In our world, too. I mean, but in Jesus' world, doesn't matter. He just sleep to me. That's an awesome thing. That's an awesome thought. That in Jesus' world, dead people he loved are like people sleeping. They're actually dead. Not, you know, they're sleeping. Only they're dead. They appear to be sleeping, but they're dead. Watch this. So it goes on. And then, verse 16, Thomas says something dumb. Thomas, it says, also known as Didymus. Nah, I'm just kidding. Didymus. Said to the rest, well, let's go also that we may die with him. I don't know what that meant. I researched that too. It's just a dumb statement. It's a dumb statement. I mean, the Bible records everything. The good, the bad, and the dumb. With no consequence, no revelation in that scripture. All right. Now listen. So again, Jesus listened to our request. The story goes on. You read the rest of that. You know, make it short. That basically when Jesus returned, interestingly, that, you know, in the first story, Martha had the problem. In this story, Mary had the problem. Because when Jesus came back, Mary came out to meet him. I mean, Martha came to meet Jesus, but then Mary didn't stay in the house. Now, Martha came and asked the question, Lord, if you'd have been here, he never would have died. She was out front with it. Mary was mad about it, stayed back in the house. When he finally came to the house, then she said, Lord, if you'd have been here, he never would have died. They both said the same thing. If you had been here, he never would have died. But Jesus said to them, I'm the resurrection and the life. He spoke out of his world. See, here's the thing. You want to get in Jesus' world. You want to get more into his world and less in your world. Come on, somebody. The walk of faith about getting the mind and heart of God and going his direction more than your direction. And that this thing of walking by faith and giving a more earnest heed is designed to change us and transform us and change how we look at life and how we think about life. Amen, church? Because we are way too negative. I mean, price of gas go up. People complain, gas price, it's going to be $6 of gas. They said in March, in April, by now we have $5 a gallon gas. Folks saying that. Or higher. Gas now, I paid $3.15 this morning. Whatever it is, I'm going to pay for it. Whatever it is, I'm going to have it. You know what I'm saying? But so why do I want to expend energy? Okay, so all the people who are like, by July, it's going to be $5 a gallon. They wasted energy. They wasted you know, their thinking and their emotions on anticipating something they couldn't anticipate. But now, really, oh, I'm so relieved, 315. Ain't going back up. Ain't coming back now. Because the powers that be, they know. You can't take but so much. They bring it down. You say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. 315. They jack it up, make more money off of you. They just work you like that. They work you like that. Make you grateful. Price came down. Care about you people. I'm going to have me some gas no matter what. Amen. Now, watch this. So then, again, with our whole point here, the consistent point I'm trying to make to you here is that when you ask Jesus for something, he's going to give you what you ask for, but you're going to get a lesson along with the abundance he wants to provide you. But when you don't get the more earnest heed and begin drifting, you miss all the lessons. There are people who are missing lessons. Folks should be here right now in these chairs right here. Members should be here. Folks should be here missing out on this message. Now, they can go get it, you know, buy a CD. You know, people want to hear, going to go back and listen to what they missed. Listen to what they missed. Go get what they missed. I mean, I am addicted to God's voice, to learning. I'm addicted. I'm cleaving to him. I gotta have him. Amen? Now, he's not just in church. I know that. But I want to hear what people of God are saying, what my leaders are saying, what ministers are saying. If we put people up here, they got something to say. Amen? I want to hear it. Don't you? Don't you? And don't think there's no, if God gives people a word for you and you miss it, how can that be good for you? It won't destroy you. I'm not suggesting that. But why would we think anything God had designed for us we don't receive somehow didn't need it no way? I think God's bigger than that, more important to me than that. Hey, if they send me a, you know, sometimes cars, manufacturers put out these bulletins. My wife got a couple in her car. I've had some previous cars, something with the steering mechanism or the brake issue or the gas line. We had one car where the gas tank was bad. Gas line messed up. They said, bring it in. It's a recall. Bring this in. It's a potential danger. Now, but there are folks don't listen. No, folks don't listen to those kind of warnings. Don't listen. Then car will fall off. You know what I'm saying? Tank, you know, leak gas. Hope nothing worse happens. But why do we think we can ignore a manufacturer warning? And it's like no consequence. What? Sometimes it's not. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his mercy. Amen. Well, if the Lord is speaking to us, we can't ignore what God is saying. We got to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. I don't want to drift. How about you? I've drifted before. Drifting is a bad deal. I've drifted spiritually, not lately, not for a long time, thank God. I remember in school drifting, going to a class, all interested. I drifted, missed a couple of classes, hung out, did some with some friends, came back the third day like, what's he talking about? I mean, I was all hooked up. I mean, I was in that class. I was keeping up. I missed two classes and come back and know what they talking about. You know, what is this? What is that? These terms he's using. Those terms were introduced in the class you missed. And they had exercises and the learning occurred and you missed that. Now you're back on the third or fourth day talking about what I don't understand what you people are talking about. Example. Happens in life, doesn't it? Same thing in God. We ought to be people who are tuned to what God is saying, to be sharp and clear on what God is speaking to the house. Amen? But it takes ears to hear. It takes people who have ears to hear. Am I talking to those people? I'm talking to half of those people. Am I talking to folk who have ears to hear? All right, just want to check. I mean, this is important. It's not important because I'm saying it, but because the scripture said it. The word of God is said this is clear. It's important to us to get clear. All right, so Martha and Mary's in their world, Lazarus' sickness would bring death. It did. He died. It's over. But Jesus came, raised him from the dead, and Martha and Mary learned something about their friend. He wasn't just their friend. He was the Lord and Savior, very God in the flesh. Amen. He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. They found out I want to keep finding out more good stuff about Jesus and about you, the people. I mean, even people of God. I want to see more and better from all of us. I want to be surprised by how God uses you. Amen? Man, God, you can surprise yourself sometime. God can use you sometimes. Well, Lord, thank you. I did that. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it wasn't you because you couldn't do that without the grace of God. Now, listen. Here's some points. Well, almost done. Bullet points. Listening to Jesus expands our appreciation of his ability. Is that on the screen? All right. Read it. Listening to Jesus expands our appreciation of his ability. Read the next one. Listening to Jesus teaches us to look at life through the eyes of faith in God's ability. Oh, yeah. We know it because when we get sick, we pray for folk who get sick. We get sick. Sickness happens in this world. When I get sick, I don't feel like I'm fixing to die. I don't feel like that at all. I feel like I'm gonna get well. I'll be well in a minute. Later today or tomorrow morning, I wake up well. When I get sick, it's amazing how God works. Almost every time, if I go to sleep sick, in my dreams, I'm fighting it. I'm actually warring with the sickness. There's a conflict in my dreams. And then at the end of my dream, I beat it. I knock it down, and I wake up feeling better. I mean, it's for years and years, that's how it's been. Have a severe fever. Now, I could be delirious, you know. But when I'm sleeping, my spirit is fighting it, you know what I'm saying? And I wake up feeling better most of the time, see? Because I don't expect to stay sick. I expect to be well. I don't expect to stay broke. I expect to have some money, amen? That's because I've learned to hear, to listen and hear. He's trained me. See, all right, here's the point. Well, let's say this first of all. How does hearing God change your outlook? That's a question. Because if your outlook is the same, that is, you know, you're going out trying to find a job, trying to serve, you know, meet your family's needs, trying to get things done in life. You know, it's tough out here. Life is, you know, getting tougher for a lot of folk today. But what is your outlook? Is your outlook is that I'm going to continue having a hard time and things will be hard forever? It's my new lifestyle, hard and difficult. Or is your outlook through the hearing, listening ear and hearing heart, where you're being transformed to see life differently? Example. Question in the example is this. How do people become teachers, doctors, pilots, preachers, technicians, any kind of job? How do people become anything, a nurse, and become good at it? How do they become that? They got there through listening, through hearing, and acting accordingly. I mean, you know, nobody's born, you're not born a nurse. Now, folk with talent, now, folk who can sing, anyone can learn to sing. But the person with talent will always sound better. All right. I got to understand that. But in things not with talents involved, you can be a pilot. There's no pilot gene. Come on. You can learn to fly an airplane, but it takes a lot of listening, a lot of hearing. You can't be distracted. Come on. You can't be distracted in the pilot class. You can't be late to the pilot class. I need to know. He's a pilot graduate. How many classes he missed? And was he late? I mean, you know, did he pass the test with a 60%? I need 95%. I mean, the pilot got to have 100% for me. You got to hear everything, be everywhere, do everything, and do everything right before I have confidence with you flying my airplane. All right? You got the example. I need my doctors, my nurses to be people who got there listening, who had hearing, listening ears, and hearing hearts, and who know what to do with me. When I come in there, act like I'm choking. Don't just stare at me. Don't even pray in tongues. Only help me. Give me a Heimlich maneuver. Do something, man. You know what I'm saying? Help me. But people who hear it, listen here, know what to do. I'm telling you. He who has, more will be given. More skill. Skillful people are listening and hearing people. Unskilled folk don't listen, don't hear. And they won't move into the blessing. You can't put people in positions who haven't given themselves to be skillful, become skillful through listening and hearing. You can't afford to have people like that in some positions. It's too important to have somebody in there who's been distracted all the time. They should have been listening. You got the message? To him who has, more will be given. And here's a statement I'll make to you. It may sound a little harsh. I'm saying it just in general and to myself as well. It is utterly foolish not to listen to someone who has something you need or something you can learn. It's foolish. It's foolish not to listen to people who can help you. And God most of all. Foolish. Well, here's scripture. Look at Proverbs. I'll close here and let the word speak, all right? Because this is an important message. Every message is important, you know, obviously, but this is foundational. Proverbs 10, 17. Let me begin at Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, verse 7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." I don't call people fools to their face. I wish I could. Because I wish somebody had told me, "Brian, what you doing there, boy, that's foolish. You're a fool acting like that. You're just a stone cold fool." Now, a friend could say that to me, a really good friend, could say it to me to this day. Because I understand what a fool is, So call me a fool. If it's true, I won't stay a fool. Because I just say, "What, me, a fool? I can't live like that. I'm going to stop being a fool." Now, it sounds weird. It sounds kind of crude. I understand that. But, when life jacks you all up for being a fool, that's crude too. So let's just say this. Don't be foolish. That sounds nicer. It's the same as saying you're a fool, but it just sounds better. Don't be foolish. And what makes us foolish? The Bible says, by despising wisdom and instruction. Don't want to listen, don't want to hear, don't want to come to where God is speaking, where wisdom's going forth. That's a fool refusing what he needs. All right. On that happy note, all those amens, I'm encouraged to keep going. Proverbs chapter 10. Don't shout me down because they're preaching real good, all right? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17 says, "He who keeps instruction is in the way of life." Now, how do you get instruction? How? How's it come? By hearing. Listening and hearing. He says, "He who keeps instruction is in" what? Going off, astray, drifting? No, in the way of life. "But he who refuses correction goes astray." What Hebrews said. Different words. Proverbs 12, verse 1 says, "Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid." I didn't say that. But listen, I give folk permission. You see me hating correction, that is, somebody want to fix me, help me, I don't want to hear it, call me stupid. I won't call you stupid. You call me, I give you permission. Just don't be stupid when you tell me stupid. I'm stupid. Don't be acting stupid. But I'm being facetious and somewhat realistic because I want folks tell me the real deal. Don't sugarcoat information to me. I mean, I come from art school every day. Everything was critiqued every day. All my finest work on the wall, the whole class, professor critiquing it. Not to tear me down, but to build me up. A lot of folk can't handle critique. They can't handle it. Like them folk I tell you about at American Idol, right? Every year, first part of the season, the folk that can't sing all show up singing. They've been passed along, told they could sing. Oh, baby, my baby can sing. Boyfriend, girlfriend, you can sing. Uncle, cousin, y'all, you can sing. They all know she can't sing. Pass her along. Then she wind up in front of some judges, professional singers, you know, who are objective, say, you can't sing. Then she get mad. Get all mad, or they get all broke down. Like, oh, well, I'm wounded forever. I'm going to kill myself. Your mama should have told you you couldn't sing. Amen. I know it sounds harsh. But listen, y'all, let people you love and trust assess your ability. And the fact is, all of us have different variables. I mean, I ain't the best preacher I ever heard. But I'm doing what I do best. That's always what God expects. Do what you do best. Improve yourself as far as you can be improved. And God can roll with that. Some folk won't like you. So what? Learn how to deal with folk like that. There's haters everywhere. Folk that hate Jesus. Folk that hate everything. So here's the thing. But you make the commitment to receive or to keep instruction. All right? All right, next verse is Proverbs, which is it? Proverbs 15:32. It says, he who disdains instruction despises his own soul. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. I tell you, if believers could get a hold of that one text, I mean, along with everything else, but that one text, I mean, what if people could realize that when I disdain instruction, disdain hearing, don't want to be where I can hear, don't want to be involved in the Bible studies and the things that is designed to communicate truth to me. If I disdain that, don't want it, you know, dismiss it, I'm despising my own soul. It's actually hurting me when I reject what God brings. But he says here, but if I heed rebuke, I get understanding. Rebuke is a sharp correction. It's a sudden correction. It's somebody saying, oh, time out. No, 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 no. Not that way, this way. And when you say, Lord, thank you, or to the person, thank you, guess what? You get understanding. And when you make it a lifestyle of hearing and listening and receiving insights, you get into a mode of being glad when good people, godly people speak to you and you're open to correction. You don't feel defensive about it. You say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because I'm hearing, I'm getting more. And the more you get is a correction sometimes. The more you get is adjustment. Sometimes when you let people really come in and talk to you, the floodgates open. And it seems very harsh what the folks are saying until you begin become accustomed to the lifestyle of correction. And so the word says that reproofs of correction are the way of life. I don't mean folk beating you down. I don't mean negative folk being negative. I ain't talking about that. I mean people who love you being precise in what they have to say and share. Amen. That's a whole different thing from a critical spirit and a hater. But people who love you and God most of all, I'll tell you something. It's only abundance that God has in store for you. It's only exceedingly abundantly above he wants to do for you. So open your hearts, people of God. Have a listening ear. Have a hearing heart. And let the abundance of God come into your life.